How are we all doing?
Yeah, wonderful. Thanks. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, appreciate it. No, I really appreciate that, eh? It's, as Jamie said, those lyrics in our hearts. It's your breath in our lungs. So we'll pour out our praise to you only. It's definitely something that bears thinking about. It's definitely something that we need to recognize, remind ourselves every day. It is his breath in our lungs. And so we praise him, because that's the only reason we can even be here tonight. So the title of this sermon tonight is The Written Word Attests to the Living Word. The Written Word Attests to the Living Word. You see, we live in a day where many people champion the saying, relationship, not religion. Relationship, not religion. From Facebook posts to blog posts to t-shirts, bumper stickers, this is a popular saying. What does someone mean when they say this? Might seem quite plain that the Christian life is about having a relationship with Jesus and not about obeying a set of commandments and standards. Yet whilst this is the predominant saying that's on the lips of modern Christians, it's often the case that many do not actually go to the very source of where they can grow and found a relationship with Jesus. Unfortunately, it seems that many folks who live by this saying seem to believe, perhaps not always from their speech, but their lifestyle, that they can have a relationship with Jesus without the Word of God, without the Bible. Perhaps the most common statement that we hear in modern Christianity is that we don't read our Bibles as much as we would like to. We don't read our Bibles as much as we should, or whatever the exact phrase might be. And so now there's this common practice that many people truly believe today that they can have a relationship with Jesus without the written Word of God, at the exclusion of the Bible. Why is it? Why is it that it's become so common for people to claim that they have a relationship with Jesus, yet in the same breath admit they hardly ever open the Word of God? Why is it so difficult to bring ourselves to open the written Word of God? And why does it matter? Why am I even bringing this up? Turn with me to John chapter 5. The fifth chapter of the Gospel according to John. And look with me at verse 39. John 5:39. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. It's they that bear witness about me. And we need to understand in this passage that Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders of Israel who studied the Old Testament with great dedication. They believed that if they knew the Old Testament and understood the meaning of the words, then they would have life. But Jesus rebukes them. We have a tendency to look at these sorts of passages in our culture and start running off into our own little cliches. We start talking about head knowledge and heart knowledge. We start pulling apart hearing the word from doing the word. we start making a lot of unbiblical separations, and unfortunately, we also start to devalue the dedicated study of the Word of God. Because we say, look, Jesus is rebuking them for all of their study. They have all this head knowledge of God and no heart knowledge. But it's important for us to understand something here. Jesus doesn't rebuke them for their dedicated study of the Scriptures. Let's be careful observers of this text. The rebuke is that they search the Scriptures because. Here's the reason. Because they think that in them they will have eternal life. This is the problem. They think that the Scriptures themselves will give them eternal life. Their understanding, their perfect understanding of the Scriptures will give them eternal life. This is why Jesus rebukes them. How do we know that it's not a rebuke of their dedicated study of the Scriptures? Let's hear the verse again. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. It's they that bear witness about me. Jesus declares that the Scriptures bear witness about him. They attest to him. The Scriptures point to me, Jesus says. The Scriptures are giving you testimony of me. The Scriptures are making me known. The Scriptures exalt Jesus. The problem isn't their intensive study of the Scriptures. So if we're sitting here thinking, oh great, this justifies the fact that I never open my Bible, then we're wrong. Jesus is saying to them, your problem is that you're seeking eternal life in the Scriptures themselves, but their purpose is to direct you to me. Jesus rebukes them for missing the entire purpose of the Scriptures. He continues in verse 40, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Bible study in and of itself isn't enough. It's not enough to study the Bible for hour upon hour and trust in our own understanding of the words. It's not enough to memorize it for memorization's sake. This is because that isn't the purpose of the Bible. The purpose of the Bible isn't to give us knowledge for the sake of knowledge. The purpose of the Bible is to lead us into the very knowledge of God in Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. The purpose of the written Word of God is to lead us into the very knowledge of who God is as we look at the person of Jesus Christ. Its purpose is to lift up Jesus so that we might come to Him. It's to make much of Jesus so that we might be in greater awe and worship of him, and so that in receiving Jesus, in coming to Jesus, we might have life. The problem for this group wasn't that they had head knowledge of God and no heart knowledge. The problem was that they didn't know God, because if they did, then they would have come to Jesus and had life. It's interesting to consider this passage in light of our current generation. Jesus says that the Scriptures bear witness about him. And you see, whilst the problem for the religious leaders of Israel was them thinking that if they had the perfect understanding of the Scriptures, they'd have eternal life, it seems that the main problem in our time is that we don't study the Scriptures. We don't have dedication to study the Scriptures. Our generation seems content in not studying the Scriptures, yet Jesus says it's in the Scriptures that he's made known. He says, the Scriptures bear witness to me. So don't be fooled. If we're not getting into the scriptures, then we can't grow in a real relationship with Jesus. If you're not searching the scriptures to know Jesus, then how are you expecting to find him? If you've decided that you don't need to read your Bible to grow more intimately and deeply in your relationship with Jesus, then how do you plan to do that? If this is your struggle tonight, if you're not getting into the Word of God as you know you should be, then make a stand tonight. Draw a line in the sand. Commit to seek God in His Word. Don't allow yourself any more excuses. Don't justify to yourself why it's actually okay. If you're serious about growing in your relationship with God, then seek Him where He says that He is revealed. That's in the Bible. And if you're here tonight and your struggle is that you're not searching the scriptures to know Jesus because you need help to learn how to study them, then I plead with you, please, please, please don't leave tonight without asking someone to walk with you in this. It's that important. It's that important. We can't be chill with the fact we're not in the Word of God. If we claim to bear the name of Christ, then we need to be in His Word. And this is why we're the body of Christ. If you need help tonight, we're here to help one another. There's so many different opportunities we have. Maybe you're not keen to catch up with someone, but maybe a home group is something that's going to be beneficial to you. There's so many opportunities to get together and study the Word and grow to know God more. So if anything you take away tonight, I urge you, don't leave without committing to searching the Scriptures, to getting into the Word. And if you need someone to walk with you, ask someone. Don't leave tonight. Don't leave tonight and be like, I'm just going to go about things the way I've been going before I came here tonight. I'm just going to continue going on my way. If God is speaking to you in this, commit tonight to make a change. Commit tonight to take a stand. Our next thought is this. Why is the purpose of the Scriptures to direct us to deeper knowledge of Jesus? Remember our main text for tonight. John 5:39-40. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. If the religious leaders are seeking eternal life in the Scriptures, but Jesus says that they can only have life if they come to Him, then what is eternal life? Let's turn together to John 17. And look at verse 3. John 17, verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is knowing God, knowing Jesus. Eternal life isn't something that we only receive after we've died. Eternal life isn't some sort of ticket to heaven. It isn't a prize we receive when we enter the pearly gates. Jesus says that eternal life is knowing God. It's knowing Him. This is eternal life. And the way we come to know Jesus is in the written Word. The only way for anyone to come to know Jesus as He truly is through the Holy Spirit revealing Him to us through the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of the Bible. should be very strange for someone to think that they can grow in their relationship with Jesus and never read the scriptures. It isn't possible. If you can be in your relationship with Jesus and it requires zero searching of the scriptures, then it could be wise to consider who exactly the Jesus is that you're relating to. Because the scriptures attest to Jesus. They bear witness about Jesus. They reveal to us who Jesus is. Why? Because they're inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. The Holy Spirit lifts Jesus up before us and proclaims him to be who he is. So, if eternal life is to know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent, then we need to understand that to know Jesus means to know God himself. Let me read some verses from John 1. You can turn there if you'd like. This is the introduction to John's Gospel, where he begins by explaining who Jesus is. In verse 1, this is what John says about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the eternal living Word of God. He's the Word of God who was in the beginning. He's the Word of God who was with God. He's the Word of God who is God. And then in verse 14, we read, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the living Word of God, became flesh. He became a man. He entered into humanity, fully God and fully man, and he dwelt among us. And as we look to him and see his glory, we see the very glory of God, because he's the only Son from the Father. The glory we see in Jesus is the glory of God himself. So Jesus, the living Word of God, is at the same time God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. This is who Jesus is. And he enters into humanity without ceasing to be God. And in doing so, he shows us the very glory of God himself. Listen to verse 18. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. No one has ever seen God. But wait, hold on a second. But the only God, that is the living Word of God, God the Son, Jesus, he has made him known. The God whom no one has ever seen has been made known in Jesus Christ. Jesus makes God known to us exactly as he is. It's only in looking to Jesus that we can know God. And the scriptures bear witness to Jesus. This is what we need to understand tonight. The written word of God in the Bible makes Jesus known to us. And Jesus, the eternal living word, makes God known to us. So as we read the Bible, we come to know Jesus. And as we come to know Jesus in the Bible, we come to know God. We need to be in this word. We need to be in the Bible. If you want to grow in your relationship with God, then you cannot be chill with the fact that you're not getting into his word. This is where we grow to know God more deeply, more intimately. I may be sitting here and and you're thinking, yes, Daniel, I already know this. Thanks. A lot of this isn't new to me. Maybe sitting here wondering, why is he making such a big deal about this? I want you to seriously consider these questions. Ask them of yourself tonight. Why is it that whilst we may know some of this to differing degrees, that we still cannot bring ourselves to seek God and His Word every day? Why is it easier for you to spend time consuming your favorite TV show than it is to seek God and His Word? Why do you get great delight from reading a fantasy novel, yet when you think about hearing the very voice of God in the Bible, it doesn't do anything? Why is it that you would acknowledge that the God of the universe became a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and made the only way for men and women to be reconciled to Himself? You'd get more excited about going to a movie or supporting your favorite sports team or going out with your friends than you do about spending time with Him. If the knowledge of God and Jesus that you currently have doesn't cause you to hunger and thirst for Him above anything else in all creation, then I might suggest it's worth getting on your face before God and seeking Him in His Word and in prayer. Until Jesus is our greatest treasure, then we won't live as we ought to live. The Christian walk isn't some nice, fun game where we all act like good people. It's a war. We have real enemies. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour us. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy in every area of our lives. We have the flesh constantly at war with the Spirit of God in us. Then there's the world, the culture and society around us who hates Jesus. And it's in this very environment that we're called to know Him in His Word and to make Him known. Around 5 years ago, I started studying at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. And I'd get up early in the mornings to meet with God. I'd bring myself and my Bible to the rubbish/storage room, which was also the prayer room on our floor. Or if my mate Johnny had kind of beaten me there, I'd go into one of the stairwells and seek God there. So I was getting up most mornings, if not every morning at this stage, and I was determined to meet with God in His Word and in prayer. I remember the frustration I had after an extended period of time when I'd come and just not feel like I was connecting with God. The feelings and assurances that I'd associated with being near to God just weren't there. And I remember being frustrated. I remember the thoughts of doubt creeping into my mind. Has this simply become an empty ritual? Am I just a legalist? These little seeds of doubt that the enemy seeks to implant in our minds. These seeds that he intends to take root in our hearts and ultimately deter us from seeking God altogether. The whispers of the tempter would be there. Daniel, why do you perform this empty ritual each day? Why are you kidding yourself? You come here, you read your Bible, pray, but it's not legitimate. You don't feel His nearness. It's just for show. Each morning you wake up, you sit here, and it's really of no value at all. I heard his whispers. I felt the longing of my flesh to spend an extra hour on my pillow. But that morning I cried out to God. Lord, I know this appears to have become an empty ritual. I know I don't feel like I'm experiencing great nearness and connection with you. But I'm here this morning. I'll be here tomorrow morning. I'll be here the morning after that because I need you. I need you, Lord. That's why I'll be here each morning. Whether I feel you or I feel near to you or not, I'll be here. You know, the enemy bombards us with all sorts of distractions to prevent us from seeking God and His Word. He lays out a smorgasbord of alternative activities that we can do. And even when you finally drag yourself away to be alone with God for 5 minutes, still He'll be there trying to discourage you. The flesh fights against us, focusing on everything and anything but God. Ever notice that? When you come before God, just quietening the thoughts swirling around in your head seems like a big enough task in itself. Opposition doesn't go away, but we need to stand firm in our commitment to seek God where He says He's found, and know Him where He says He's made known. If you seek God in His Word, you will find Him. But are you seeking Him in His Word? Is the reality that you can know God in Jesus Christ your greatest treasure? If the reality that you can know God Himself in the face of Jesus Christ doesn't delight your soul, then something's wrong. If knowing God and Jesus doesn't cause you to rejoice, then perhaps He's not your treasure. Good intentions don't draw us nearer to God. Got to be honest with ourselves. Be honest with yourself tonight, with where you're at with God. If you know you've been drifting, then repent and cling to Him tonight. If you know you're wandering and straying away from God, you're not earnestly seeking Him, stop. As Jamie said last week, stop, turn around. Repent, turn to your Lord. Treasure Him. Know Him, seek Him in His Word. But to know the living God is going to cost us. Cost us everything to follow Jesus. And to know Him more intimately costs us every day. Ultimately, knowing Jesus will cost us our lives. We're called to lay down our lives to follow Him and know Him. But the Lord says, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Is knowing God in Jesus Christ of greatest value to you? This is how the Apostle Paul puts it in Philippians chapter 3. In verses 7 through 11, this is what he says. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. He says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Is this your heart? Do you count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, your Lord? Is knowing Jesus more valuable to you than anything else on this planet? Is knowing Jesus more valuable to you than your circle of friends? Is knowing Jesus more precious than your favorite TV show? Is knowing Jesus more precious than your career path? Make a stand tonight that you'll seek Jesus above anything and everything else. Discipline yourself to get into his word every day so that you might know him more intimately. The Bible says we're soldiers. I don't know if you're aware of this, but soldiers are very disciplined people. Lazy soldiers die. Unprepared soldiers die when the battle comes. Don't waste today. Be honest with yourself tonight. Is knowing Jesus Christ your treasure? If it is, praise the Lord. He's done a work in your heart. Keep pressing in to know him more in his word every day. But if it isn't, if you know you're straying from God in your life, make your decision tonight. Make the decision to repent and return to him. He stands ready and willing to joyfully receive you. Or you can carry on in your path away from God, but remember Jesus' words, that it's only in coming to him that we have life. And if you've never known Jesus and you want to know him, he's made the only way for you to know him. And he came and he took the punishment from God that we deserve for our sins when he died upon the cross. His sacrifice paid the price for our sins and made it possible for us to receive forgiveness and to be cleansed from our sin before God. 3 days later, he rose again, testifying that he has all power over sin and death and is able to restore us into a right relationship with God. If you want to be restored into a right relationship with God tonight, then he calls you to repent, to acknowledge and confess the wickedness of going your own way, to stop walking your own path and instead follow him, to submit to him, to surrender your life to him and trust in him and not yourself. If that's what you want to do tonight, then call out to God in these next moments. Tell him you surrender all to him tonight and choose to trust and follow his son. Let's take a few moments to seek the Lord, and then I'll pray for us.